know what it is when I push that button that I always have to clear my throat. Probably really get that put together. But it is still fantasy football time. It's that time of year. You have to be in your playoffs by now. I would hope to God Georgie was eliminated from his playoffs. He is now out. But the picks that the babyface assassin Joe Barrow from JB Fantasy or at JB Fantasy Sports, the esports editor and fantasy football expert at RotoWire, gave to him paid big dividends, and he could pay big dividends for you. So, Joe, what is up, my man?
Yeah, I wish I could be in the fantasy playoffs as well, but I'm joining George. Got bounced because, of course, it felt like that's just a it felt like that was just a sort of week that fantasy football was. This was probably one. I don't think there's like statistics for it. But it had to be one of the highest times the number one or number two seed lost to lower matchups since fantasy has been going on. All injuries, Mike Evans, Calvin Ridley, Alshon Jeffrey leaving early, and a bunch of like weird things like Derrick Henry doing pretty well, but like A.J. Brown or Ryan Tannehill could have been waiver wire pickups for a struggling team. All that kind of accumulated to make it one of the biggest upset-heavy weeks in fantasy football memory, or recent memory.
Yep, in my league, both the underdog teams came out on top.
Yeah, so that's same with the one friends league that I was in, and then I was already obliterated in that 2 week long family league that I was in, where I was number one. It wasn't even close. Like I was doubled up on, and I think I would have won one of the matchups if I was playing somebody else. But even then, like you look at that stuff, and it's just the luck of the schedule and who you're playing, and of course who they have going to. And I had Mike Evans in the playoffs in three of my five teams, so that hurts as well. And you know, it is what it is. So I'm hopefully here to guide other people to the glory that I cannot contain this year.
So, Joe, you got a good penance? Like, if you lose your league, like, you have to do X, Y, or Z, or is it all just paying your money?
Well, I guess as a member of the wonderful state of Wisconsin, I've been taught at a very early age that the thing you do when you are upset is to indulge in some alcoholic beverages. That was the plan on Monday night, especially. I needed 36 points from Carson Wentz, and I actually would have gotten close to that if he had thrown a touchdown instead of Boston Scott running it, but I was well prepared for the misery that was about to ensue, so we got a jump start on the preparation. But here we are now on a Wednesday. We have gotten over a little bit of losses. Like I said, it's. I mean, I still have a job to do. That's one of the good things about fantasy football, that even though it's done for my teams, it's not done for other people, so I'm living through you guys at this point.
Yeah, I don't play, so I'm just learning from all of you guys and watching you fret over all these decisions that you have to make. Joe, I'm sure you've heard of a bunch of leagues. What's the worst, like, last place finisher thing they have to do that you've ever heard of? You know, you see the guys that have to get the tattoos. You got some guy was in a dress with a sign out on the corner the other day, you know, telling everybody he lost in his league. You got any good ones of those?
Yeah, I had, it was kind of some out of state friends that have a pretty crazy fantasy league. And I like when those punishments for the bottom seed people happen. So they had to, dressed up in I think it was like a mini skirt. I kind of imagine like a Bo Peep outfit, and serve at one of the establishments that they visited for like a 4-hour shift, and like deliver drinks or whatever else. Evidently, the guy got enough tips where he more than paid off his loss for the year. But that was like one of my favorite low standing punishments that might occur.
See, that one actually became a blessing for that guy. Well.
Yeah, I mean, I guess what's your pride worth for $80 of tips? I don't know.
Exactly. Everybody's got a number, Joe. You just got to find that number. All right, well, why not? Hoiberg asks, half-point PPR start one, Sterling Shepard, Deontay Johnson, Dorsett, or can pick up Connolly or Anthony Miller?
That's interesting. I like Anthony Miller this week. Of course, you're going to – I am almost certain, maybe this is the pessimistic Packers fan of me, but this is a meaningful game for the Packers. I would not be surprised, though, if Mitchell Trubisky and company end up going in Lambeau and upsetting them. I will be at that game, too. So that almost
nice.
Reinforces the fact that I think Chicago is going to end up winning, or at least being really close. I was disappointed with how the Packers played against the Redskins this past week. And,
you and I both.
My wife and I were at that game, and I think we walked away from Lambeau saying, that was the most boring game that we've ever been to at Lambeau Field. And it really was. I mean, 14 points in the first quarter, and then 12 combined for the ensuing 45 minutes was really weird. All of this to say, the rambling, I think Anthony Miller is going to be a guy that can get you 5 catches and 75 yards. I don't think he scores. I think that's going to be David Montgomery and Alshon Jeffrey, Allen Robinson, and probably some fourth or fifth string tight end that also scores as well on a play action goal line play. I think that's where it's going to go, but Anthony Miller makes some sense to wide receiver three. Of that group, though, I still think it has to be Sterling Shepard that starts. And the Giants are playing the Dolphins this week. It's going to be a pretty pass-heavy matchup, and I get it. Eli Manning was fine for a half. I don't think you're going to get as much torrential rain going on in the cold weathers in this contest. I hate being a meteorologist on Wednesday, but at least it seems like it's going to be okay. Only 10% chance of rain, maybe some wind in New York. That's where I feel like I'd rather have Sterling Shepard, who's a safer option than Anthony Miller.
You being a Packer fan, I want to ask you this. Do you get, well, you do, so I'll rephrase it. Why do you think LaFleur tries to get cute when they're up 14-0? Like, why won't he just get up like 21 or 17-0 and just let it go from there?
Well, that's what I thought. I mean, they were dominant, incredibly dominant on those opening three drives, and Aaron Jones was definitely running the ball. I feel like sometimes, and I saw this from Mike McCarthy too, so maybe it's just a Packers thing. And I guess I know the Packers, and I've watched every game now for 20 years, so that's more on my memory, but I'm sure other teams apply to this too. Sometimes these head coaches, and I think LaFleur qualifies for this as well, want to overimpose their will on the opposition, and that can mean passing the ball 50 times, or that can mean running the ball up the gut for two times. Like, we did that all the time with Ryan Grant back in the mid-2000s. Like, that was just, all right, 2 yards in the cloud of dust, Ryan Grant, here you go. And I think Aaron Jones could have done pretty darn well if he was able to get going. The first half, they weren't able to get the running game going. In the second half, that's all they could do. I have no idea why one or the other can't both happen at the same time. I guess I should be happy that at least one can do something, whether it be the passing game or running game. But it's weird to see him almost overcorrect, him being Matt LaFleur, like on what he's doing in his play calls. And I think it hurts that they really only have one wide receiver. I was so high on Marquez Valdes-Scantling, and I thought Alan Lazard, especially after that Lions win, was a guy that could be the number two receiver. Well, that's very clearly isn't the case, and I think the Packers are going to be regretting that they weren't more aggressive in trying to acquire Emmanuel Sanders. A third and fifth round pick were a high price to pay, and certainly Mohamed Sanu is that second round pick for the Patriots. I mean, those are high prices, but you look at what the Packers receiving core, sans Devontae Adams, can do, and it just is not a Super Bowl winning core when I think they have a defense that can commit turnovers, get sacks. They have Aaron Rodgers. You have enough of the pieces to do well, but I don't think you have enough to compete with the Saints or certainly the 49ers. We saw that blowout before. I don't think they have any chance of really being a high-quality seed in the NFC.
All right, Joe. Well, you mentioned injuries earlier. I know that was a pain in my butt all year. And of course, David Johnson just not compete. Anyway, I'm just going to stop complaining. But Mike wants help. He's got an injury issue. It's a PPR league. His wide receivers are Adam Thielen and Alshon Jeffery. So he's going through it just like we all were. He needs a waiver wire suggestion, maybe a wide receiver on like the Colts. He said even if there's a wide receiver on Miami or Cincinnati that might not be on a roster that might be able to at least hold their own, you got any help for our guy, Mike?
Yeah, absolutely. So we actually, that's like the primary thing I do. We have a Tuesday podcast on the RotoWire Podcast Network where my co-host and I, Jake Letarski, go over the top free agents every week. We do that every Tuesday, and we'll be doing that throughout the entire season. I think the Week 17 edition is going to be primarily us venting and just rambling and maybe doing some crazy stuff. But for the most part, we focus on the free agents. So we talked about that pretty extensively. A.J. Brown was available in 70% of Yahoo leagues. I don't know if he fits this criteria for this caller in, but I think A.J. Brown is going to be among the top pickups overall, regardless of running back or wide receiver. They have a great match with the Titans offense. For whatever the reason, it seems like they are churning on all cylinders. And they faced the Texans that eviscerated by the Broncos this past week. So Brown is up there. I think Zach Pascal, especially with T.Y. Hilton out, Paris Campbell placed an IR, Devin Funchess still not back yet. There are no receivers, and I love having somebody play on Monday night. If for no other reason than a morale thing, like, oh, well, something crazy could happen even if down 30 points, like I had Carson Wentz this past week, well, I still have a chance. That makes a difference a little bit in my rankings. And I guess Isaiah Ford is an interesting name, especially if Devontae Parker cannot play against the Dolphins, and I think Albert Wilson also left with a concussion. That's kind of been the number two receiver for the Dolphins since Preston Williams went down, and he had a pretty good game this past week as well. So I think Isaiah Ford is the one that would be most likely available, I'd imagine, almost everywhere that you could probably slot in and roll the dice for. I like him more so than a Justin Watson, the third-string receiver for the Buccaneers, or a guy like Russell Gage who steps in for Calvin Ridley going against the 49ers this week.
Joe Bartle's joining us here on – or Bartle, sorry, Joe, joining us here on the Gary Sharp Show. The good and the bad of it. You want the bad first or the good?
Oh, yeah, just go with the bad. Why not?
All right, Casey says, I still appreciate him. Let him know he told me to play Wilson over Jimmy G, and I lost by 20 points. Crying face emoji two times.
Yeah, well, I mean, that would at least be a no-brainer, I think, for most people. Like, if you pull 9 of the 10 fantasy experts, I think most people are going to say Russell Wilson. And, of course, Jimmy G and the Saints combined for 90 points. I mean, like, when you think of weird game scripts, would you have ever imagined in 1,000 years Saints 49ers go 90-plus? Like, I just didn't – that was never in the realm of possibility.
No, huh? And then Joe on the good side says, last week's pick by this cat landed me in the money round. Mixon dropped 30 in my league compared to Lockett's 8. I once again need to fill my flex. It's between Lockett, Mixon, Mack, A.J. Brown, and then two more flex I think are James Conner or Eckler. And then he's got another question, but go at that one.
That is a smorgasbord of quality options. And yeah, I mean, like, when you're dealing with the Mixon and Eckler, and I love A.J. Brown this week too, like, there's so many different options that you can go with, and either one of them could go off. Like, we saw, like, Eckler at 180 total yards and 10 touches last week, but they also can have, you know, a mundane 5 for 10 kind of performance overall. That's a really difficult proposition. What I would like, if this is possible, I don't know if this user has Twitter or not, but could they tweet at me closer to Friday when we know all the injury reports and everything else, and give me the list of available players, because I think that's almost going to be too long and too potent of a bench for me to be over to not like give the appropriate answer for. So I want to make sure that I have all the information in front of me, or I can just give my email to this person after the call and just make sure that we have this correct. Because especially when I'm out of the playoffs and I got one right, I really want to make sure we can have the best knowledge and best foot forward, especially for the rest of the playoffs for some people.
All right, I just connected you with Joe via Twitter, so Joe, do that. You got too many good players. He also wants to know Ernst or Doyle at tight end.
Yeah, that one's a pretty easy one. It's going to be Ernst for me, and I think Doyle will be fine. Again, I like having people on Monday night, but like, especially with Elshon Jeffrey out, Aguilar was obviously inactive on Monday night. I don't know if he's coming back. That receiving core really is just Ertz, and I think Ertz and Goddard especially are going to be two huge factors in the matchup. Again, I've said this 3 consecutive weeks now. I mean, the Eagles should be able to take advantage of the Redskins. I think Ertz is going to be the big guy to use.
So this one I screwed up. Like I said, not a fantasy guy. So I put two of Jesse's guys into Joe's. But still, Joe, contact Joe. You guys figure it out.
the Joes can figure it out. I'm fine with that.
Joe, or Jesse, who has the best handle ever at Beer Me Bro, says, Vers, flex, James Conner or Eckler?
Eckler against the Vikings is an interesting proposition. You can go either way, I think, with the game script. I don't know what to make of that. Of course, the Vikings need to keep pace with the Packers. And then you have James Conner against the Bills just coming off the injury, too. I think it's going to be Eckler, especially in a PPR league and in a flex, you could do worse. I think it's going to be Eckler that's going to give you anywhere from 8 to 14. I don't think he's going to do anything we saw last week, but he'll do enough where you're getting at least some production on that flex spot, more than James Conner, who I think is a bit of a question mark to injury, but also matchup. The Bills are pretty darn good, and the Steelers' offense, you know, save for Deontay Johnson, has just not been all that effective.
All right, follow me on this one. Jacob needs help. He said he's got Will Fuller, DJ Chalk, and Juju all listed as questionable. Currently, he's got James White and Zach Pascal in his flex spots. Patrick Lard, Anthony Miller, Randall Cobb, and Breshad Perryman are available. Should he pick up / start one of those?
I think that's all correct. I like every one of those names, and I think in a deeper format, they're probably worth picking up. But that roster, it seems set enough. And I think if Juju Smith-Schuster is healthy, I would, and that seems like the closest one. Like, I don't really feel like I want Will Fuller in my lineup at this time, at least especially health-wise, but we just don't know what the Titans offense does and who they're going to use in every single week. I'm sorry, the Texans offense. Mm-hmm. They play the Titans, obviously. So I think Juju's the only one to consider, but I would rather have the safety net in James White and his production in a get-right game, I think, against the Bengals, as opposed to Juju, who again, against the Bills defense, pretty good. Steelers offense, I have no idea what's happening with Beck Hodges and the health of everything else. I think it's going to be more of a James White at that flex spot.
Okay, I got some quarterback ones to throw at you. Winston or Tannehill?
Of course, the toughest one here. Tannehill, we have ranked 6th. Jameis Winston, we have ranked 7th. You can't go wrong. I think at both these guys get you 20 points. But as we heard in the previous caller, hopefully you're not dropping 12-point difference and that's going to be the loss or whatever. I guess it was 20-point difference. Sorry, Jimmy Garoppolo. I think I'm going to go with Ryan Tannehill. I don't know if I should be worried about the broken thumb for Jameis Winston. I don't know if it could really make him any more turnover-prone. Mm-hmm. If you are in a league that does not penalize turnovers, and I actually was in one, Jameis Winston is a top 3 quarterback this year. However, most people don't play in that form, and I think Ryan Tannehill is a little bit safer. 250, 2 touchdowns, I think, is probably what I'd imagine for him this week against the Texans.
All right, how about Rodgers or Garoppolo? This is helping out Tony.
All right, this one I'm going Garoppolo. We have Rodgers ranked 8, Garoppolo ranked 9. I think Rodgers is actually a bit more of a downgrade for me. Again, I'm concerned about this match against the Bears. I'm worried about what this is going to mean and how they're going to really be able to generate movement on offense. I think the defense will be do well enough, the Packers. But I think the Bears are going to present some problems. So give me Jimmy Garoppolo all the way. Of course, he had that crazy shootout against the Saints this past week. Against the Falcons defense, who has been bad for, 75% of the season? Yeah, this is an easy one for me.
All right, let's try to help out Lance at the quarterback position. He's got Garoppolo or Patrick Mahomes.
Man, I mean, and it's crazy to think about Patrick Mahomes being a second-round pick that you'd even consider benching in the fantasy playoffs. I think you have to don't overthink this one. Like, Mahomes can do some crazy things, and all it takes is a flick of the wrist for him, whereas Jimmy Garoppolo, obviously he did fantastic this past week, but the offense, I mean, he just isn't as quite skill set-wise what Mahomes could be, and Tyreek Hill, Nicole Hardman, Travis Kelce, the weapons and speed the Chiefs have. I just can't imagine taking out Mahomes in my lineup for the playoffs.
All right, we're going to try to help Jim out here. Wide receiver, start 1, standard scoring league, Julio Jones, Curtis Samuel, or Mike Williams?
I know everyone's scared off on the Julio Jones against the 49ers this week. I mean, that's one of those things where I, especially when it comes to the playoffs, I really try not to overthink it. Aaron Rodgers against the Bears is a little bit different than Julio Jones. And the Falcons are missing Calvin Ridley. I feel like the body type that Julio Jones has is similar to DeAndre Hopkins, where they can just make plays even if there is a good defensive coverage on them. And we don't know what Richard Sherman's stats is going to be for this week. There's a possibility, I think I read earlier in the reports yesterday, that he could miss this game, and that makes a bigger difference. So I just can't take out Julio Jones in my lap. I have to have him in there for the playoffs.
Fantastic stuff, as always, at JB Fantasy Sports, eSports editor, and fantasy football expert at RotoWire, Joe Burrow. Joe, thank you so much for your time, buddy. Always appreciate your conversation.
Yeah, no problem. And Joe will hook up on Twitter and figure out what we need to do.
Yes. You two Joes, go figure it out. See you, Joe. Thanks, bud. I hope that helped. We got to run to break. We'll be right back with more of the Gary Sharp Show on 1620 The Zone.
I had to get over there.
Yeah, I saw that. That's why I lengthened it out. We'll be back.